thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
You know, this is our 45th year Faith Bible Institute, formerly School of the Bible, formerly Faith Bible College, but all the same school. This is our 45th year, our 45th students of graduation, and we have graduated 1,777 students who have come through the school. Yeah, great job. You know, it's great being part of a church that values the Word of God so much, and George and Cheryl have always been behind the school and has always been wanting to see the members of this church and anybody else who wants to come to get closer to Jesus. And that really is the purpose of the school. But besides that, you know, I read the news every day and I see what's going on in the world. And I'm telling you, good people out there are confused. They are falling for things that they shouldn't fall for. They are doing things they shouldn't do. And it's because they do not have a clear biblical perspective, a clear biblical worldview on what Jesus wants us to live like and what he wants us to be like. And I think if there's anything that we get from coming to Faith Bible Institute, we get that biblical worldview that when we go out, we can understand the times we live in. We can understand what Jesus is expecting of us and what he wants us to do. And so with that being said, you know, I invite you, if you've never been to Faith Bible Institute, we are breaking now for the summer, but come August, we are going to start classes again. You know, come on out. We do them on Tuesday night. We do them on Sunday morning, so we try to make them easy for you, whatever fits your schedule. It's not both. It's one or the other, just to make that clear. So you can come out on one of those times, and, you know, it's an hour and a half of class time where there's some lecture and question and answer time, and there's some homework. And I truly believe, you say, oh, geez, homework, I can't do that. But I'm telling you, that's where the anointing on this school is. When you go home and you do your homework, you are by yourself with the Holy Spirit, and you say, Holy Spirit, show me what you're trying to tell me here. And you begin to put a paper together, you know, 1 to 2 pages on a topic we give you. And that's what we try to do at the school, give you a systematic way to study the Word of God. And you begin putting that paper together. I'm telling you, things are growing in your heart. Things are put into yourself that nothing and no one can ever take from you. And that's that biblical worldview. That's that closeness to Jesus that you will receive from studying the Word of God. And I truly believe, I've been a part of the school now for 20 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. And, you know, the school's been around for 45, and that has had an anointing. I'm telling you, that we have a photo album of every graduating class out in our reception this evening. If you have a moment, take a minute to look through that. You know, there's been nearly thousands that have gone on before you now. So I invite you to come out next year. With that said, we do have a testimony from one of our students. Yolanda's going to come up and share with us. And so, Yolanda.
Well, praise God. I am not a speaker, but I wanted to share what Faith Bible Institute has meant to me. I'm going to give you a little bit about my background because I think that's very important. I was an orphan. I lost my father at the age of 3 and my mother at the age of 9. A family of 8 children, 3 boys and 6 girls. The boys had already left home, so basically it was the girls who were left. 6 girls between the ages of 7 and 17. We lived alone in our home. We were not separated. We were not sent to an orphanage. God made the impossible possible, and his word is true. I have seen his plan come together in my life, so I will start at this point of my life. I was raised in church and accepted the Lord into my heart when I was 11, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 16. Shortly thereafter, we were sent to live here in Colorado, and I began attending First Spanish Assembly of God. I have a great husband, and I've raised 3 young adults. I found myself asking, Lord, what was the next step in my life? Where do I go from here? I began to take the Beth Moore Bible study series, Breaking Free, and God began to stir within me a desire I had had since I was very young. My desire was to go to Bible school. This seemed to be the right time, and I enrolled in Faith Bible Institute. I was so enjoying the classes, especially learning about the tabernacle and God's love for Israel. The Lord put upon my heart to visit my old church, the Women's Spanish Bible Study Group. I didn't know why, but I knew it was the Lord speaking. These ladies were in their 70s, 80s, and the teacher was 90. I told the Lord I was ready to learn more. They embraced me with all their heart. Before too long, they asked me to teach their class because they knew I was taking classes. As I sat at my dining room table asking the Lord what he wanted me to teach, the answer was in front of me, a book Cheryl Morrison had written on Israel. This was the lesson God wanted me to share with them. We read the book verse per verse, chapter per chapter, and they began to immerse themselves in the study with great excitement. Then the Lord impressed upon me to take a mission trip. Here I was, with boots up to my knees, in the jungle in Costa Rica called Talamanca. I never imagined that I would be ministering and teaching in Spanish. The Bribri tribe was a shy tribe and heavily influenced by witchcraft. We were there to minister, but also to install a water system to several homes. I was told that this was the first team that was asked to actually go into the home and pray for the locals. I was amazed at the distance the locals would travel on rocky roads through the jungle, carrying their machete in hand to attend church. They were thirsting for living waters. I was also able to see the first water system installed and hooked up to the first home. It ran perfectly. God made the impossible possible. And this was not the end. I still felt the lead to go on another missions trip to Cuba with Joshua Nations. I wanted to use my Spanish to minister to others, and I trusted God would lead the way, and he did. My husband drove me to the airport and asked if I knew who we were going to meet and if I knew anyone. I laughed nervously. No. I think he realized I really meant I did not know anyone. All I could say was that I knew Pastor Russ had white hair. I thought my husband was going to turn the car around and go home. But he said in a very profound voice, if this is what God wants. The first night, God confirmed I was in the right place. I sat and watched Pastor Russ give his testimony on God's purpose of Joshua Nations to establish a Spanish two-year Bible study program in a communist country. It was a program that they received their certification. I was touched by their love for God, for his word, and I felt the Holy Spirit moving in every church we stepped in. I was able to pray for others, and I spoke one night at a local church. The pastor took Bob and I to a landfill, and he said many people wanted this land, but God gave it to the church. They were going to build on this land a new church. God was establishing churches in a communist country with areas of high demonic forces, but God prepared the way and the protection, and God made the impossible possible. Adding to my amazement was watching the wonderful students, young and old, so proudly walking forward for their diploma. I'm not going to cry. I made new friends in Christ Jesus. As I saw the students walk the stage, I felt such great joy. God is truly amazing. Then I thought of my own desire to want to study God's word and that I too would be getting a certificate. Of all the sisters that was left, I was the one most unlikely. Maybe I was a late bloomer, but I did blossom. I was timid and always had my sisters and my family, but God had another mission in my life. We are living in perilous times, and God is rising up an army. He's breaking chains and setting captives free. Let us put on his full armor. We are never too late, too young, too old, to pick up the sword of truth and begin his mission. So I want to thank my husband and family, and I want to thank the people who help in this ministry. And I hope I have encouraged you. Remember that with God, all things are possible. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'll take that from you. That's great. You know, and I know that each and every one of these students, these graduates, would have something to say, because something's been happening in their life for the last couple of years. You know, when you get into the Word of God, something begins to happen. It has to happen. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight, okay, just for a little while. So if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Peter. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one right in front of you, and you can grab that one. 1 Peter. It means there's two letters that Peter wrote, 1 and 2. Go to the first one. Peter wrote this letter, and the opening of it, it's to the persecuted church. The church began with a bang, you could say. I mean, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and I mean, they went out into the streets and people began to respond to the gospel, the good news, and the church exploded. But it wasn't many years after this explosion that there was persecution that began to take place. Not everybody wanted to hear the message. How many know that not everybody wants to hear the good news that we want to tell them about? And sometimes there's kind of a pretty heavy response to you trying to share it. Well, the response was heavy amongst the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And so the persecution, the church began to scatter. But it was really to the benefit of the gospel that the church scattered. Sometimes persecution has more to it than we see on the surface, for us individually or for the church itself. But anyway, the church began to spread, and they needed encouragement. They needed to be reminded of things. And Peter and Paul and some of the other writers of the New Testament, they would write letters to where these churches were established. So this is a letter that Peter wrote, and I want us to go to chapter 1, and I want to read the last verses of chapter 1, and then the first three verses of chapter 2, okay? So we're going to go there. We're going to go, I think we have it up on the screen. I've just simply titled this, Cultivating a Hunger for God's Word. Cultivating a Hunger for God's Word. Let me read. 1 Peter 1, 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God. Say, Word of God. Which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man, the flower of the grass withers and the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord, say the word of the Lord, endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And then verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desiring pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, when I talk about cultivating a hunger for God's word, I want to tell you that in my life, before I came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Word of God was a totally foreign subject to me. I mean, if someone would mention the Word of God, if they mentioned the Bible, I could probably respond to, I know what the Bible is. But to have a hunger for God's word or to even desire to read God's word. It was foreign. To me, the only time you heard anything about the Bible is when you attend church, and then someone tells you about the Bible. Well, what I found out later on, that that's not the way God wants it to be for any one of us. But the enemy has done a pretty good job in keeping the word of God from people, because he knows the power of the word of God. Now, the key verse in what I read there is, desire the pure milk of the pure word, or the pure milk of the word. Job said it this way in the Old Testament, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I'd say that he cultivated a hunger for God's word. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who delights in God's word. Psalm 19, David said it this way, the word of God is more desirable. Now, this is what David said. Is more desirable than gold and much fine gold and sweeter than honey. And I guess the one book that says more about the word of God than any other book is Psalm 119. 176 verses, and they all say something about the value of the word of God. Now, this is what Peter's talking about here, is having a strong desire or a craving, a longing, a compelling desire, a passion. Something so strong that it's a big focus of your life. And again, foreign to a whole lot of people, but so valuable to each and every one of us. An intense desire for God's word. That's what Peter is saying. Now, we understand what cravings are. How many have a craving for chocolate every once in a while? All right, I don't crave chocolate that much. Do you know what I crave? Mashed potatoes and gravy and cream corn. You know, I'm a mashed potato and potato. I could leave the desserts, but we know what cravings are. And we have cravings for things. And not just foods. People have cravings and longings or desires for everything or anything. Now, Peter could have said here, here's what he could have said, and it has been said in other parts of the Bible, you need to read the word. He could have said, you need to study the word. He could have said, you need to meditate on the word. He could have said, you need to teach the word. He also could have said, you need to preach the word or search the word or hide the word in your heart. And these things are said throughout the Bible. But think about this. Before you will do any of those, you have to have a longing and craving for the word. You can't do the one before the cultivating that hunger. Once you have a hunger, then you'll be able to speak the word. Then you'll be able to hide the word. Then you'll be able to preach the word or teach the word or share the word. But it comes after a longing or a craving in your heart. I put down when I was on this part of my notes, do I have that kind of craving or desire for God's word? I have to say I do. I love to study God's word. Now, I know you say, well, that's your job. You know, that's what you're paid to do. Now, listen, I didn't start out this way. I started out with a longing and a craving for God's word. Something happened to me when I received Jesus Christ. Something that some seed, the Bible calls it what? That incorruptible seed was planted in my heart. And out of that came this longing and desire. And then the natural outtake of that was an opportunity to be able to share the word of God. Now, here's an analogy that Peter's using here. And that's of a baby. Now, how many know a newborn baby, probably one of the most, you're not going to understand this, but most antisocial being there is? Because they don't care about anything but one thing, milk. When they're first born, that's what they care about more than anything else. And it's kind of like this, feed me now, or life will be miserable for you and everybody else around here. Is that true? I remember when Maisie, when she was a little kid, the first thing she did when she woke up, she wanted to eat, and we had to plan that, because if she didn't, the house was miserable. So we get it all ready and then wake her up. So it was kind of like we didn't miss a beat. Now, Peter is going to help us here in these verses. He's going to give us five reasons. That's what I want to talk about. I want to give you five reasons or five motivations for craving the Word of God. If you can jot these down, I want you to get them. I think they'll be easy to understand and get down. I want to look at them. Number one, here's what Peter's saying. Remember your life source is the Word of God. If you want to develop a craving for the Word of God, you have to remember that it's your life source. Verse 1 of that chapter, of chapter 2. You see what that word says there? It says, therefore. Now, anytime you see a therefore, you kind of got to back up. Because what the writer is referring to is that he has just said something probably very profound, and then goes on to say, therefore. So the therefore is because of what has already been shared. Therefore, now do this, okay? So what we have to do is back up. And when you back up, it's like it's a bridge back to what has just been said. You back up, and what do you find? The word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word that was preached to you. Because of the word of the Lord endures forever, you need to remember it's your life source. Everything else passes away. The grass withers. The flowers fade. Everything that we have in this world will pass away. There is one thing that will not pass away, and that is the Word of God. Think about that. And yet we spend so much time craving and longing and desire. We put so much passion into going after things that are going to be gone like that. And so little time into going out and craving and longing for that thing that's going to last forever. Now, these students proved otherwise. They took time out of their lives to study the Word of God. Therefore, the desire, in other words, because of what the Word did, and that's what Peter is saying here, because of what the Word did to give you life in Christ, what you've experienced by its power, because of all of that, therefore. And then verse 22 says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been, listen to these, been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. And I've already told you about the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. See, Peter's reminding us that it's the Word that purged your sin. It's the Word that purified your souls. It's the Word that brought you into obedience to the gospel and to understand and know what it means to serve Jesus Christ, have Him as your Lord. It was the Word that brought you new birth or eternal life. Peter, you could sum it up as the Word is your life. It's your source of life. And it's still powerful, he's saying. Remember your life source. Remember how powerful the Word was that took you out of the kingdom of darkness and translated you in the kingdom of God's dear Son. Remember how the Word of God came into your life and broke the power of sin over your life. Remember how the Word of God came and washed you and cleansed you. I mean, when you remember those things that the Word did for you, you know what happens? You're cultivating a continual hunger for the Word of God. But you got to remember what it's done for you. Remember, it's the life-changing Word. Second of all, eliminate your sin. Eliminate your sin. Remember, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Remember that little quote. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the book. And that's what he's, that's just eliminate your sin. Therefore, verse chapter 2 says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, and every other thing. Like newborn babies, crave pure milk. Or rid yourself, lay aside, rejecting all. Peter, it's a command here. It's a command to strip off. Take off the dirty, filthy clothing, strip off the filthy things in your life, the longings and desires and the passions for the wrong things. And how many know that we can have longings and desires for the wrong things? That's what Peter's saying here. He said, you've got to make a decision. You've got to rid yourself of those things if you're going to desire the Word of God. You've got to have a clear mind and heart. Thirdly, you must desire or you must admit your need for the truth. You must admit your need for the truth. Here's what Peter says. Peter says, like newborn babies crave pure milk. Just like they crave pure milk, we've got to admit that we need the Word of God. Babies need that milk. We need the Word. It's the simple analogy he's using. There has to be a sense of humility and recognition that you don't have all you need. We don't have all we need, so therefore we have to keep going back to the Word, the pure Word of God. Babies, or newborns, I should say, so we know it's that very early stage when a baby is born, have one God-given instinctive craving, and that's for the mother's milk. That's for the mother's milk. They don't care about the ribbons that people brought. They don't care about the bows. They don't care about the balloons in the room. They don't care about the nice clothes that were brought to them. They care about one thing, and that is what? The milk. And Peter's trying to get this analogy across, is that all of these other things can't or should never compare to a hunger that you have for God's Word. Think about milk. It's both nourishment and protection. It's both nourishment for the baby and protection. For the mother's milk, nourished, and the appropriate antibiotics or antibodies are brought to that little life, protected from disease. Think on that one a little bit. So milk not only nourishes, God's Word not only nourishes, but what does God's Word do? It protects us. It's a protection from the disease of the world, or it protects us from the deception of the enemy. So just like milk to the baby, the Word of God should be to each and every one of us. And guess what? We should always remain in a state of humility like a baby desiring, craving the milk. The Word of God. If that baby doesn't get it, it's going to be unprotected and malnourished. Peter's saying the same thing. Recognize you don't have all you need. You need nourishment. You need protection. I put this down. Now listen carefully to this. All the years that I've ministered, I think the most dangerous thing that can happen to somebody is to think that they've arrived to the point that they don't need anymore. If I go back and I say, what is the most, I watch people, I watch them get a hunger, I watch them grow leaps and bounds, and then I watch them get cravings that creep in that are distract them, that get their attention, and slowly but surely, I can tell you, it's in the thousands of people that I've seen then desire and crave more of what this world has than to do the Word of God. And guess what? They're malnourished and they're unprotected, and the enemy comes in and eats them up. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? But the Word of God is pretty serious stuff too, where it helps us. Remember your life source, eliminate your sin, admit your need, and number 4, desire growth. desire growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word that you may what? Say it louder. Grow. I don't know about you, but I want to keep growing. I haven't arrived. I've only been studying the word of God for 42 years. I mean, that's nothing. That is nothing. I mean, there is so much more. Every time I get into a verse or I begin to look, even as I looked at these verses again, new things pop out, new understandings, new excitement about what, if God could just show you from one word, in his word, something that could literally change your direction of your life, give you direction for your life. Desire, growth. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, and Paul, you have to know he was a highly educated man. I mean, he was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. He was a teacher. He was well respected. He had, if today he'd have all the degrees that an individual could get, especially in the area of religion. But do you know what he said in Philippians chapter 3? I have not yet attained. He said, I'm not where I need to be yet. I'm not there, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to push on. The word will grow you up. It'll make you strong. It'll make you effective. It'll make you fruitful. You'll better deal with issues of life. You'll be able to discern better. It'll help you make the right decisions. It'll help you love people that are unlovable. I mean, the word of God will meet every need and challenge this life has. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to keep growing. You guys, kudos. You took the step to keep growing, but don't stop now. Man, there's too much more. And for the rest of us, we need to be doing something to grow. Last one, number 5. Thing that Peter will help us with, survey your blessings. Survey your blessings. The very last verse says, indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is what? Is good. Or it means gracious or kind. Or since that you have tasted, or because that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You have seen his goodness. You have seen his kindness, Peter says. You have seen his salvation. You have seen his blessings. You have seen his protection. You have witnessed his grace. You have seen his work in your life. You have felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You've sensed that peace that passes all understanding. And Peter's saying, because of all these things, I mean, keep looking back over all those blessings. That'll cultivate a future hunger or a continual hunger. And guess what? All these blessings came through what? The Word of God. All the blessings that I just mentioned, and I only mentioned a few of them, came through the Word of God. Remember your life source. Eliminate your sin. Admit your need for the truth. Desire growth. And count your blessings. I pray for myself continually that I don't come to a place where I've settled in and think, well, I've arrived, or all that it needs to happen in my life is going to happen, because I put myself in a dangerous position. We're going to be praying for these graduates that they're going to continue to cultivate that hunger for God's word. But let me say something to all of us. Let this be a challenge. Not only the word that I just spoke, but let these testimonies, let the stories, let these lives that have taken time out of the life tell something, speak something to you that, hey, I need to get off my butt. Can you say that in church? Huh? I guess I just did it. It's recorded. It's out there. And do something. If you're going to accomplish anything in life, you got to get up and do it. If you really want the Word of God to work effectively in your life, if you really want to be nourished, if you really want to be protected from the enemy, see, somehow we come to believe, and there's deception to believe that these things are just, I made a decision to follow Christ, and now I got all the nourishment I need. I got all the protection I need. And just leave me alone. Let me do my own thing. Devil will eat your lunch. He'll do it each and every time. So we've got to keep on going. So you guys, you've graduated, but you know we have courses offered all the time. Keep taking them. Keep taking those courses. For those of you who have never taken up the challenge, hey, give the Holy Spirit a chance. You say, I can't do it. You probably can't. But I know someone will help you do it. I was a terrible student. I hated school. Matter of fact, I still hate school. I really do. But the Word of God brought such blessing and such change in my life, such power in my life, that it's like I got addicted to it. I had to get more of that. Cheryl and I started our ministry out of this Bible college. This is what we graduated from. And on our graduation day, we got a word from the Lord what our ministry would be. But this was the basis of our whole, the Word of God. And this could be the basis of you guys moving on to far and greater things. Okay? So everybody received that challenge? Let's thank the Lord for His Word then. Amen. God's Word has meant a lot. Okay. We're going to invite now the students to make their way over. I think that's what Dennis is indicating by sign language over here right now. The students over. I want you guys to really join in with your heart. You know, the Bible says that we're to rejoice with those that are rejoicing. We're to celebrate with those that are being blessed. And these people are celebrating tonight. We want to celebrate with them. So we're going to give them an opportunity to be introduced. And Cheryl, you're going to come up here with me, right, Dennis? And we're going to hand out these certificates to these proud graduates.
Amber Brown. Candace. John. Norma Coder. Sylvia Denson. Yolanda Duran. Justin Friedman. Susan Gettle. John. Sarah Kirksey. David Pruitt. Cindy. Kathy. Jennifer Spicer. Judson Spicer. Lisa Thyssen. And Mark Wilkie.
All right, I'm going to ask the graduates, would you all come up here, right up here to the front? I'm going to ask our pastors that are here and leaders and elders, would you come on up here? And we'll just get you in a bunch here. We want to surround you. We want to lay our hands on you. We want to pray God's blessing, continue to work in your life and in your hearts. And the rest of you, why don't you stand up and join with us? You can certainly pray with us as we pray for them. And you can either stretch your hand out or pray silently or however, pray out loud, but we certainly want to bless them. I'm going to just say thank you for taking the step that you take. I sincerely mean that. We know the value of the Word of God. We put that right up front, and that's why it's 45 years old. From the very beginnings of this church, we said the Word of God is important, not just for certain people that are called, that are going to go on. We said it's important for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for salvation. It's important for sanctification. It's important to move on in life, period. So we want to see your lives continue to change and be open, whatever God has for you, okay? So, Lord, we thank you. And, Lord, we bless your name. Lord, you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. Lord, in your word, Lord God, you have placed your word it said it's going to endure forever. Everything else is going to pass away. But Lord, the word that has been placed in their hearts will be there forever. And Lord, I pray that that seed, that imperishable seed, Lord, will be watered by the Holy Spirit and begin to grow inside of them so, Lord, they can become everything that you've created them to be. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that a hunger that they had to take this step, Lord, will be even cultivated further, that, Lord, that hunger and desire, that craving, that longing just to hear from you and just to get into your word and just to study, Lord God, will just be part of their lives. Amen. Lord, let there be no substitute. Lord, let nothing come between. Lord, let not any other craving, no other longings, no other desires come between. Lord, you bless us with a lot of things in life. You allow us to do a lot of things. But Lord, we do not want the Word of God to be shoved out in any way or put to the side or be second, Lord, at all. We want it to be first because we know it reveals your character. It reveals who you are. It reveals your will. Lord, it gives us direction and guidance. It gives us the comfort that we need. Lord, it gives us the discernment that we need. It gives us the tools that we need. Lord, your word, Lord, it's so powerful, God. So let that word continue to grow in their hearts. And then for all that are here, Lord, let us walk away from here with a better understanding and, Lord, more of a hunger, Lord, for the word of God in our life. We pray blessing now over them in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.